Creekside with Don and Jan. Welcome to Creekside with Don and Jan. If you care to live in harmony with nature and the land, and you wish to live more peacefully with all your fellow man, if self-reliant living is a big part of your plan, if you like to talk some politics with those who really can, this is the time, this is the place, Creekside with Don and Jan. Sit right down and make some space, Creekside with Don and Jan. Let's get started right away, Creekside with Don and Jan. No more singing, no delay, Creekside with Don and Jan.
Well, howdy and welcome to another episode of Creekside with Don and Jan. Hi, I'm Don Stover.
And I'm Jan Stover, and this is episode 267 on March the 11th.
Gosh, we had snow today. We had a surprise snow blast.
Oh, my goodness. The flakes were huge. Right. So many people were taking pictures and putting it up on Facebook. It was really fun to see.
I think I put it up on Facebook that it was mouse flakes, big as mice. They're just huge. And then they, you know, the accumulation, just as we're looking out here, is it's just all slush right now.
Yeah. And this is the non-pretty part of it, but boy, it was pretty today. So
it was a pretty snowfall. And it was, just like I said, too warm for it to stick around very long. And it's already off the roads for the most part. Mm-hmm. So it's still going to freeze tonight, though. So y'all better be careful driving around if you're in it.
Absolutely.
In this area.
That's right. In Greenville, Illinois, where Creekside with Don and Jan is
and
recorded.
It's the official podcast of the
Owl Creek Gazette.
Who are we? Oh, yeah, the Owl Creek Gazette. Thank you very much.
Anyway, we have a special guest with us tonight.
We do. She's special.
She is in many ways. And our readers and listeners, and of course, local folks know Gay Renee Hurd. So welcome, Gay.
Thank you. Good to be here.
It's good to have you back. It's been far too long.
Yeah. Long
used to be our girl Friday, doing sales for us.
She sold ads. And remember, we even took a couple trips, and you worked at the store and manned the brick-and-mortar shop for us.
Passed out the repaired goods.
Mm-hmm. and the magazine, too.
And the magazine, yes.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Well, how we got to know you for folks that may be introduced to you for the very first time, when you started to sell ads for us, you had all kinds of interests that we shared in common. And we got to know more and more about you. And I said, we've got to do an article on you for the magazine. Now you've got to come on the podcast. And you talked about really the way you chose to live your life with the animals and family you had. And so why don't you catch people up on your hobby farm and your interests, and we'll just go from there.
Well, I don't have the alpacas. I've only got one old boy now, Monty, but I've got goats, and I'm kind of in partners with a guy. He's got sheep there and two different breeds of sheep, the Barbados, and then I'm not sure what the other ones are. They're a hair sheep, but they're just the sweetest things, and they've had babies this year, so there's just nothing cuter than a baby lamb or a goat. And then we've got pigs, just five, but we've got nine little ones, and they're quite their characters. But you know, I never cared for pigs when I was a kid. Of course, they smell. You know, they do have an odor. But these pigs, one of them, particularly Daisy, has just got a personality. You know, she'll come up to me and let me rub her head, and she, you know, wants a cookie, and you know, you just can't help but get attached to them. And I still have my chickens and geese, and then we added, like we were crazy, ducks, because we thought we could, you know, sell duck eggs around here. Well, nobody's really crazy about duck eggs, but we go to Waterloo once a month, and we sell them down there like hotcakes.
Hey, we'll take duck eggs any day.
Yeah, and I still have my geese, too, so okay, well, I should be starting to get geese eggs here shortly.
Now, let me ask you a question before you get too far along. There was a time whenever we had some turkeys. Whatever happened to the turkeys?
I don't have them anymore. The hen got loose. She left. And then I have this red bourbon turkey that I had bought from this lady. And he beat the other one up and he died.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh,
so I don't have any original turkeys anymore. Oh, and my. I took two from a guy that he couldn't take care of. And, I've lost two of them, but I think it was nutritional issues. And I have one of them left. But my red bourbon, he went to the FFA petting zoo this year, stuffed him him in a cage, and Chandler took him to school, and he strutted around up there and, you know, gobbled and made everybody laugh and stuff. So, and he is, he's a really nice boy, but he doesn't really like men, and he'll attack the men every chance. Yeah. So, like my old pug, if somebody leaves, he bites the back of their legs. It's, you never know who's going to be grabbing you at my house anymore.
Well, and you know, animals, like you say, they do have a personality. Oh, even
absolutely.
When we had outdoor cats, and of course you get to know your pets well, but when the cats are indoors, then you really know their personality.
Yes.
And so then you see, you know, each little nuance that makes them different mm-hmm. from another one of their brothers or sisters.
Yes.
And so it sounds like you're seeing that in your animals outdoors. Yes,
absolutely.
Well,
yes.
When I was a kid, I mean, my uncle Paul had geese, and those, I'll just say it, those damn geese would come along and bite you in the back.
Mean, and they've got bones in the tops of their wings, and they'll grab a hold of you and then beat you with that wing.
Oh, wow.
It's just like a bone. It's like getting beat with a bone.
Well,
yeah.
These things would run up and bite you on the
butt. Yes, my mom hated geese.
I guess that's where the old, you were goosed.
Yes. Yeah, whether you wanted to be or not. And they're one of the best watchdogs. I hear them at 2 o'clock in the morning just honking their heads off that something's, you know, out there.
Oh,
you know,
cool.
Yeah. And
wow.
I'm sure the neighbors may not appreciate it because they're pretty loud. And, of course, there's a donkey next door, and he can be loud, too, so it all works out.
It's an interesting neighborhood.
It's very interesting.
It's a menagerie, I'm
it
sure.
It is.
Well, you know what? Speaking of menagerie, I believe that's what we titled the article we wrote about
yes.
you, Gay's Menagerie.
Yes.
And so it sounds like it's grown and taken different
yes.
shapes over the
years.
I
really
years.
Want peacocks, but you have to keep them, you have to have a net over their pen, and that's kind of beyond my expertise right now. But they're so beautiful, and
they
I thought
are.
I would even, but Chandler, my son tells me you don't need anything else. It's all you can do to take care of what you got. You don't need anything. I thought, yeah, he's probably right.
Darn it anyway.
Yeah, darn it.
So all the animals that you have now, do you just keep them for what, a variation of pets and
yeah,
eggs?
Yeah, because I'm sure not making any money on them. No.
It's not your life and livelihood,
why do you,
is it?
Why do you think they call it hobby?
Yes, exactly. Yes. In fact, I got a big 24-page survey from the USDA here recently wanting to know all about my farm. And I told them, I said, what do you want to know? It's a hobby farm. I make nothing. But I still had to answer those questions because it was by law. I had to turn back in.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, and it wanted to know about watersheds, you know, flood. I mean, you wouldn't believe the questions I had to answer.
Don't tell me government is being invasive.
Yeah, and I said, well, and I told my friend, I said, well, I can't lie because they'll send a drone over. So I might as well be honest.
Well, and knowing you, you'd be honest anyway.
I would. Yes. I mean, I have nothing to hide.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Well, it's what are you going to do?
Right.
You fill out the form and shake your head and move on.
Yeah.
Huh?
As long as they pay the postage, okay.
You should have sent it postage due.
I should have. I really should have.
Well, anywho, you've got turkeys and geese, and well, a turkey you've. Geese, you've got
ducks.
One alpaca.
Mm-hmm. Old Monty.
And pigs.
Ducks.
Are those pigs going to wind up on the table?
No.
Or are they just...
No, I can't eat anything I raise.
Okay.
I just can't do that. You know, because I get so involved with them and
mm-hmm.
stuff. But now we do sell the little ones to a guy down in, I can't, Millstadt. He's on Facebook. Is it Pleasure Acres Farm? And that's terrible. I can never remember his name of his farm. Wonderful guy. He's actually going to have an open farm day down there coming up, I think, in April. And he buys our little pigs and he feeds them out on dirt. You know what I mean? It's just like the old farmers used to do it. And then mm-hmm. he has his own butchering shop and sells meat and eggs and everything right there and has a booming business. So we have a market for our pigs. So we lucked out. This litter won't go to him because the timing's off, but he's got a buddy that wants them. So we're still good. So we're happy over that.
Well, and you know, that sounds like connections that you're making that we could be interested
yes.
in learning more about for the magazine.
Yes.
Both as a story and advertising.
I'll send you his information because
yeah,
he might really be interested in that. He's really a nice man.
That would be great.
And I'm very into the humane treatment and butchering of any animal. I can't stand the thought of the, you know, the factory farms and
mm-hmm.
stuff and everything. So it makes me feel better that they're humanely dealt
mm-hmm.
with, you know.
Mm-hmm. Cool,
well,
that's cool.
And I started to say, when you're talking about the networking and the alpacas and the wool, well, Brett Casto, that writes for the magazines from Tibbetts House, said, you know, he was starting to get into the idea of spinning and and was looking around, and yarn, he said, is so inexpensive in the stores compared to the time and labor and cost of alpaca wool and sheep and anything that you'd be doing on your own. He said it's a wonderful art,
very
relaxing, but he didn't know if he'd be able to afford it. And I said, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I think, he said, unless I find an alpaca farmer I can friend.
Yeah. And, you know, we're kind of far and few between, and a lot of people are getting out of it now because they're just, you know, they're not, they say that it doesn't cost more than, I don't know, $240 a year to maintain one. Well, that's not true. It was a big one. And that they don't eat the pasture down, you know, to the nubbies. That's a lie. Down to the roots. And but they're just honestly one of the most unique little animals you can have. And and Monty was not breeding material because he had a defect. So nobody wanted him. So I just kept him, and he hangs with the goats and the sheep, and they just get along fine.
He doesn't know that he's a goat?
He doesn't know.
Yeah.
He runs up to me and looks me in the face like, it's nice of you to come see me. But I sold my herd to a retired dairy family from Odin, and they couldn't have went to a better home. I mean, they are just so, they are in love with them, and I haven't been to see them. But the first time I went to see them, a few months after I sold them, I had two, Rosie and little Cappy. He was a miniature. He actually was Monty's son, and he was born without any of his male anatomy, so he didn't grow. He didn't have his testosterone, so he was just like a little miniature alpaca, sweetest thing you ever saw. And when I went up to the fence, and they hadn't seen me for months, Rosie and Cappy come up to the fence and look through the gate, and their eyes were as big as silver dollars. They remembered me, about made me cry my eyes out. I was sorry I sold them after I saw them look at me that. Yeah, so that was nice.
That's so cute.
Yeah.
So you had been collecting wool all this time, and so we're going to be able to see Brett be using some of the wool that you had, so that's a neat story.
And I
too.
Sent some off to a mill and had it made into yarn, and then I actually met up with a lady from Northern Illinois who I sent her a whole bunch, and she spun it and split the yarn with me 50-50. And I actually have, my girlfriend has it now because she can do anything with a needle, but I never saw such yarn in my life. I did the dyeing and everything, but then she did the spinning and stuff, and it was absolutely amazing what she did. She just, you know, she said, do you care if I combine these colors? And I said, you do whatever you want. And she did. So, and of course, you know, you make the big drapey scarves, you know, they just turned out so pretty. So,
well, and speaking of that, reminds me when you first, the first year we had our Self-Reliance Expo, I believe, am I correct, you were a vendor, and you had your alpaca wool there.
I did. I had it in, I put it in gallon bags and, you know, so many ounces and stuff, and did actually sell some. But, you know, a lot of people around here are not familiar with it. You know what I mean? And you have to have a carder to clean it, and then, you know, of course, your spinning wheel and stuff. And that's kind of, honestly, around here, it's a lost art. But when I went down, you go down into Missouri, around the Lebanon, Missouri area, they have a huge alpaca expo down there every year. And those ladies sit in a big half circle with their spinning wheels and stuff, and the grandkids are carting it for them, and they're spinning it. It is just one of the most loveliest sights you will see, of all these spinning wheels turning and these ladies, you know, doing that with the fleece. It's just amazing what the finished product is. Mm-hmm. You know, it really is.
And our friend in Highland is actually using a drop spindle technique.
Oh, he does the drop spindle. I never could get the hang of that. I'm left-handed, and I couldn't learn to crochet. Even though I took a crochet class down at that expo, and that lady was ready to pull her hair out, and mine too. So I just very quietly left the class so I wouldn't stress her anymore.
And about the same time that we were getting to know you and your alpacas, Debbie and Rich Brandt also had alpacas.
Yes.
And they advertised them in the magazine, and they came to our event too.
Yes.
And they have continued to be very active, even though they've sold their herd.
Mm-hmm.
They are very active in the spinning and weaving communities.
They had her stuff was just absolutely outstanding. Mm-hmm. It was beautiful stuff.
Well, we're going to take a little break here, and we'll be back in just a second. Take a listen to these messages. Thank you.
Hi, I'm John King, one of the directors of the Okaw Valley Amateur Radio Club. And our club will be a vendor at the Owl Creek Gazette's Self-Reliant and Sustainability Fair on Saturday, April the 14th. This fair will be held at the American Farm Heritage Museum in Greenville, Illinois. Our booth will have some interesting amateur radio equipment, some of which will be operational. We will have some Morse code keys, and we'll have some interesting, we call them ham radio toys. So stop by and take a look, ask us questions, and maybe we can introduce you to how to become a ham radio operator.
Hi, this is Laura Myers, candidate for state representative. I will work hard to eliminate governmental waste through common sense reform. I represent less regulation, lower taxes, and lower workers' compensation insurance to create a pro-business environment. Some have said that this is a part-time job. There is a lot of work to do, and you pay for and deserve a full-time state representative. Taxpayers deserve a go-getter, someone with the experience, education, and courage to do what is right and face Mike Madigan. Check out my website, citizensformyers.com. That's citizens, the number 4, M-Y-E-R-S.com. And in the March 20th primary, please vote for me, Laura Myers, because Southern Illinois counts. Paid for by Citizens for Myers.
Hi, this is Jess Adam with Greenville University's Factory Theater. Join us Saturday, April 14th, 2018 at the Owl Creek Gazette Self-Reliance and Sustainability Fair in Greenville, Illinois at the American Farm Heritage Museum. The Factory Theater is proud to sponsor Professor Kevin Radiker as he brings his live performance of Henry David Thoreau to this year's event, from Walden Pond to Owl Creek. See us there.
And we're back.
So, Gay, we talked about the fact that you were going to help us out at this year's Self-Reliance and Sustainability Fair.
Yes.
But we also want to do a little reminiscing because you've been an active participant in many of our events over the years, mm-hmm. starting with our very first.
Eustace Conway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that was 5 years ago, wasn't
yes.
it?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Boy, how time flies.
Oh, I know.
Gosh, it doesn't seem like
Time's
it.
Time's fun when you're having flies.
Yes.
Yeah. It was. That was. I love that one. I just really was very impressed with him.
And that was really neat to start off like that and
yes.
have him be the kickoff of everything
yes.
we were to do. And that's the year then we talked about that you were a vendor.
Yes.
Then the next year we had the 100-mile meal and mm-hmm. that whole thing of what you can do local, shop local. I started to say live local, which is pretty hard not to do.
Yeah.
Eat local.
I'm going to live someplace else while I'm here. I'm living my mind.
Kind of a be here now thing. But that was the year that you joined two other folks mm-hmm. and did a presentation
yes.
on backyard chickens.
Yes. Very, very well received, too. Had a nice crowd in that room. We really did.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think we had about yeah. 40 or 50 people.
Yeah,
in that
I think
crowd.
So. Yeah. Yes.
And that was just for the individual presentation.
Yes. I hope we gave him some valuable information. We had a lot of laughs, you know, because chickens are just funny and you just can't help but, you know, enjoy them and laugh with them.
Well, and it was nice because there was two other people with you.
Yes.
And so they brought their take on their chickens.
Yes.
And you were a little more out in the country with the backyard.
Right. I was going to say one was a city dweller, mm-hmm. basically, with his little backyard chicken mm-hmm. thing, which is nice for people to know. And I think all little towns should allow people to have chickens,
mm-hmm.
hens. I do three or four,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah, roosters in town, those are...
No, because they're crowing. They don't crow at dawn. They crow all night long.
Another myth.
Yes,
exactly.
Just busted
shot
here.
That one right out of the water. And then our third year, we moved from the expo to an exposium where it was no vendors that year. We just had a sit-down meal, and speaker after speaker
yes.
came up and did presentations. And that was that was our Journeys to Self-Reliance.
Yes, and it was a good one, too. Very, very well received, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Very informational. I learned a lot.
It was.
Really
it was.
Did.
It was almost intense
mm-hmm.
how much we all
yes.
learned and took away from that.
Yeah.
And then the year after, you weren't able to join us,
no.
but this year you're going to be
yes,
back
I'm
in
back.
The mix of things.
Yes.
Well, it's a year overdue, and
yes.
thanks for coming back.
Well,
now,
you're welcome.
We're going to have you probably greeting at the front door
okay.
for part of the day, and you're such a familiar presence in this neck of the woods that I can't think of anybody that doesn't know Gay Renee Hurd.
I hope. Well, maybe.
Well, and then
they have some rolling their eyes right now.
And the nice part is, we were talking about this the other day, even though this takes place in Greenville, it's certainly not limited to a Greenville event. We've right. brought people in from Illinois, Missouri, Kentucky, Indiana. So we really draw people mm-hmm. from all over. And our magazine is far-reaching since we're online as well.
Yes.
Our podcast is far-reaching. And it's great to see that eclectic blend of folks come, well, like we said this time, together under one roof. It's rare that you see this kind of a gathering.
Yes, that is for sure, especially about stuff that people really need to learn more about, mm-hmm. you know.
Well, somebody said to us the other day, we were talking about the magazine in general, and they were saying that they had heard again people say that we're that prepper magazine in almost a derogatory mm-hmm. fashion. And, of course, we don't consider ourselves a prepper magazine, but we're certainly pleased to learn more about preparation and preparing.
Absolutely.
Not just physical, but even in emotional and, yes. and all those different things, because, heck, that's what we learned in Girl Scouts, to be prepared.
Exactly. Yes.
Just a traditional yeah. American value.
And what does it hurt to have a few gallons of water put back and some good food that you can, you know, in case something happens and things go down? You
well, know? And we're on the other side of that. And not only do you store water, you store water in your chest freezer.
Mm-hmm.
So that you don't have to worry about whether or not your chest freezer is going to thaw
there
out.
There you go. Yes.
A full freezer hardly ever runs.
Yes.
Number one.
Uh-huh.
And number two, when it does not have power and you've got frozen blocks of ice in yes. your freezer, what does that do to the rest of the freezer? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we can survive, you know,
sure.
a good 100 hours on just frozen water alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So...
If you got a few noodles to throw in, it helps. But.
Well, you know, and a long time ago, we did a list of 25 things you can do to be prepared and more uh-huh. self-reliance. It may not be bad to get that out and,
yes.
and republish that from yes. time to time, because there's very little simple tips mm-hmm. that didn't make you look like this crazed person. Not that there's anything wrong, like you said, with mm-hmm. being prepared. There's when you are, you're always happy that you were, and
right.
it certainly doesn't harm you if you don't need it.
Yeah, Facebook has wonderful prepping pages on it. Mm-hmm. That's basically what the animals and stuff is what I stick to mostly. And it's amazing what you can learn from those people that, you know, that the old crusty guys that's mm-hmm. been doing it for a long, long time, you know, and learning to dehydrate your food instead of freezing it in case, you know, because we're overdue for this big power mm-hmm. thing, you know, that's going to knock everything out. And it's really interesting, and it's, you know, it's fun to do if you just mm-hmm. let yourself kind of, you know, quit worrying. And I read all the time where people say, what do you do when you're prepared, when you have your pantry full and you're ready, you're good for 6 months, and your friend says, well, I won't have to do anything, I'll just come eat off of you. What do?
You stand there with your 5.56 NATO round.
That's
and you go,
what most of them are told to do. You know.
No, you're not.
You're prepared. You know what you're supposed to do.
Part of the preparation.
That's right.
Yeah, well, so you be careful what you wish for, because you could get it.
You just might get it.
Well, and at this year's event, we talked about the art and science of self-reliance and sustainability. So some of it is just the hard facts of being self-reliant and sustainable. Some of it is an art. And that goes back to the heirloom skills, the crafts that used to be taken for granted and
yes.
passed down generation to generation. Mm-hmm. So whether you need them long-term emergency or whether you just want to have them, and
right.
that knowledge mm-hmm. is the art of it, I think,
and,
as well
you know,
as
and
the
that's
science.
What I tell people when they lose their grandparent or great-grandparent, sometimes in this case now, you know, people are living longer and mm-hmm. well, we're having kids younger sometimes, but I say any stories that they told you, or how to write it down, because this isn't a story, this is your legacy.
Mm-hmm.
This is from where you came, you know, and this is what made you the person you are, whether you realize it or not. I'm really into that, you know, and people don't realize that, and I think I'm crazy, but I thought one of these days when you're trying to tell your grandkids a story about what your grandpa told you, it's lost in translation because you won't remember it.
And that's exactly what we did in the women's legacy
workshop,
yeah, yeah, where we actually had people come and learn to write their memoir. So you might want to take that class when
yes.
we have it. I think we're going to try to have it again in May.
Yes.
Because it was so well received in the stories that you've even forgotten.
Yes.
And if you get triggered by conversation with other women looking into their own lives and sharing their
yes.
own stories, bam, it comes back to you
mm-hmm.
and you hardly knew from where it came.
Right.
Well, I have said for a long time that I think one of the really cool things that we could do as we get older is to make sure that these things are at least, you know, videoed for the kids.
Right.
So that they can understand what, how, and where we come from. Mm-hmm. And there it is in forever form, you know?
Yes. Well, and what somebody said then, too, is when you're going to have something like that, if you're going to video it, you better make sure you have a video player, something for them to listen to it and watch it on, because technology changes so fast. We think of, you know, how long do we have records?
Mm-hmm. Well,
of course, that's coming back, but you want to make sure that the tools they need to hear it. Well, they
showed the teenager with a VCR tape on Facebook, and he
didn't know what
he had no clue what that thing was. Absolutely no clue. And I thought, gee, they haven't been out of vogue that long, but they really have, you know.
Yeah, and these days, compact discs and DVDs are just not used that much anymore.
Yeah, and because it said, you know, gee, when I think 20, if they're 40, let's see, what is it, 1970 was so many years ago, I thought that was, I thought that was only 20 years ago.
I know.
Just amazing how time flies.
It is. When you hear something, I'll look at Don and say, oh my goodness, that happened 50 years ago.
Well, used to, you know, you could say, somebody say, do you remember when? And you'd say, no, I don't remember that. But now it's like, I remember.
I was there for all of that.
Well, you know, and if I said to you, do you know what H.264 is? And you'd go, I'm not worried. No, I don't. But that's, you know, today's de facto standard for video and video compression. And 20 years from now, it won't be.
Exactly. So, that's what I mean. So you have to think. Yeah. That's part of being prepared again. You want to share your legacy. You've got to make sure.
Right.
And that's why it's still nice to have, you know, things written down, although people half-heartedly kid about the fact that since no one's learning cursive, it's going to be a code that only people over a certain
folks are going to be using. Yeah.
Right. I hate to think this out loud, but maybe film, you know, frame after frame film is the only thing that's going to be absolutely enduring.
And print, I think people will understand print, whether they may not do cursive. So, but you could just bombard your family with every tool they have to listen to your legacy. Wouldn't be half bad.
You store a working DVD player, a working VCR, and a working computer along with your data.
There you go. Mm-hmm. One thing I wanted to get back to what you'd said earlier. You said you take your eggs to Waterloo.
Mm-hmm.
Is there, explain what you do.
It's the last Sunday of every month, and I think they open like it. Well, if you're a vendor, you can go in at 5:30 and set up. And you would not believe what people sell down there. Every kind of animal you can imagine, foods, plants, you name it, it's there. You can really find some really, really unique things. And it's just a lot of fun. People are nice, you know, and friendly. And I've taken 30 to 40 dozen duck eggs down there and sold every single one of them.
My goodness.
Yeah. And they, you know, they, of course, they want to dicker with you, but I'll dicker. My buddy doesn't want to, but I will, because my theory is I don't want to take it home because I don't care for duck eggs. So, you know.
Why don't you care for duck eggs?
I don't know. I just don't care for them. And goose eggs get me too, but Chandler loves them, you know, but they're just, boy, they're tough. I'll say that. You can't break a yolk.
Well, I was just thinking, you know, golly, you know, maybe I should have said bring some eggs with you.
They haven't started laying yet. You know, this has been a bad winter. The ducks quit laying. And then, since my well pump was bad, I had to haul water to them on a lawnmower in jugs. Wow. Oh, my gosh.
Goodness.
So I think the fact that their water supply wasn't as good as it had been, because, I mean, I wash water, two swimming pools out every day, and they got fresh water and everything. I think that had something to do with their egg production. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping once I get the water situation straightened out, they're starting to lay again right now. But when it's cold, they don't lay.
Well, you know, it snowed this morning. It was as low as 32 degrees. It's already up to 37 degrees.
Yes.
So it's warming. Whatever's going on outside is melting.
It's going to be 44 tomorrow, I think, or 45.
Yeah, they've got water.
Yes. Yeah, they do. Thank goodness. I got a reprieve.
And if I need to bring you my old pump, I'll bring you my pump.
I'm going to see about this old one, see what's going on with it. It's just an aggravation.
We'll figure something out for you.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
The old gal, I rebuilt it. It actually has got new leathers in it and everything.
Really? I'll be darn, that's amazing. I haven't seen one of those in years.
It's an old Myers twin cylinder
cast
iron pump. And double acting, it makes water pressure going on the forward stroke and on the reverse stroke.
Really?
Yeah, it's a double acting cylinder.
Is it self-priming?
Yes.
That's the best kind.
So is he trying to barter that for eggs?
I might be. I don't know.
Endless eggs?
It's getting serious. I know that.
We'll figure something out. Yeah, well, that's the way it goes. So we've got our Self-Reliance and Sustainability Fair coming up April 14th. Gay Renee Hurd is going to be there at the front door. Yay! And what else do we have to talk about tonight, huh?
Well, one thing we wanted to remind everybody, March the 15th, this Thursday, is our Dream Journaling Workshop. So you can still, it's not too late to register for that. You can go to the website at owlcreekgazette.com, and it's $15. It's here at Adam Brothers Music and Coffee House. Cassie Cordy is the facilitator. We've enjoyed everything that we've been to that Cassie has led in discussion and presentation. So that will be, you know, if you're interested in dream journaling and how dreams work, how you can learn to interpret them, how the journal can help you to understand your dreams and the direction you want to take your life, all those things, that's going to be right here for $15. Yeah. And so we're looking forward to that. You can also buy tickets to the Owl Creek Gazette Self-Reliance and Sustainability Fair on the website, again, at owlcreekgazette.com.
You can buy them right here at Adam Brothers Music and Coffee House.
You can.
Just walk in and say, Jared, would you please sell me a ticket to the show?
And he will nod and smile and sell you that ticket. You can get them in Highland over the Tibbetts House Bed and Breakfast and Books. You can get tickets over in Vandalia at the Sunshine House Health Food Store. You can also get them in Edwardsville at Afterwards Books. Mm-hmm. And here in town, too, besides Adam Brothers Music and Coffee House at TNT RV. So that's a whole range of locations and places and interests that you can purchase tickets. And again, if you live too far away or your time is busy and you can't get into any of the shops, you can certainly buy them online. $7.50 in advance, $10 at the door. We guarantee it's going to be worth every penny.
You can't buy the at-the-door tickets online. You have to buy the at the door tickets.
That's true.
At the door.
That should be self-explanatory.
Who wants to save 25% on the ticket price? Well, I do.
You get in free.
But I get in free, don't I?
Actually, we don't get in free. There's plenty of labor involved in there.
Oh, my goodness,
but
yes.
It's worth every bit of it. We're looking forward to it. To learn more about the event, pick up a copy of the March issue of the Owl Creek Gazette. Go online, look at it on the website. We also have a Facebook event page, and we're trying to post.
Say it ain't so.
You know it's not. But we're trying to promote every vendor on there, every sponsor, you know, just people that are involved in any way. So it's a good way for us to say, here's what's happening, and to promote those people who are supporting what we're doing as well.
Gay, thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me. It's good to be back.
We had fun.
We did.
And what people don't know is we talk fast and furious for about an hour and a half.
Before, yes.
And I'm the only one who had a beer in the process.
We're all going to have to go home and take a nappy.
Y'all take care now.
And we'll see you next week.
All right.
Creekside with Don and Jan.
We will.
The official podcast of the Owl Creek Gazette.
Y'all take care. Bye-bye.
Good night, folks.